make it through and things can be better and they can have a very incredible life. Or a wounded heart, which is for sexual abuse victims. And I could just go down the list of all these ministries we have here where people say, man, I was abused sexually when I was a child, and God has healed my heart, and now He's allowing me to use that to help others. And they get to teach people that. You see, the What's Your One lesson series that we're in right now is extremely powerful because God always designed you to be someone who is able to look out and be able to help other people with the things that you've been through, with your strengths, with your weaknesses, with everything in your life. He longs for you to be able to help other people. And so this series of lessons has basically been designed to help you learn how to go about doing that. And in this What's Your One series really can affect your Who's Your One, right? You learn what it is that you have to give to the world, and then you start looking at the world around you, people you work with, and people you're in class with, and you start saying, oh man, I see this in them, and I remember when I was there. And you start learning how to identify those things and how to help them. And it's an exciting thing. But, you know, it's not enough just to be able to look back and see your strengths or see your weaknesses or your hurts and know they're there and want to use them. Ultimately, you've got to become someone, and I've got to become someone who loves enough to serve with those things. So this week what we're going to be doing is as we're discovering and deploying our giftedness in order to help other people have different lives, we're going to look at loving service and kind of a case study of what it looks like to really love someone where you serve them in a way that makes a difference in their lives. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 39, someone comes to Jesus and they say, Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law? And Jesus answered, Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like this one, and it is love others as much as you love yourself. You see, people used to come to Jesus all the time with these questions, and especially religious people. The Pharisees of his day, they would come to Jesus, and what they were really trying to do is they were trying to trick him or trip him up or get him to say something stupid that they could say, see, he's not who he says he is. He's not really the Son of God. He's not the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And so they would ask him these questions. And in Luke chapter 10, you see basically the same question posed. Again, it says, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, Well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, Well, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. See, they were trying to trip him up, but Jesus knew what law they were working out. They were working out of the Old Testament, out of the law of Moses. And he says, Well, what do you think? What is it going to take for you to have eternal life? What are you going to have to do? And he says, Well, I'm going to have to love God above everything else with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. That's what I've got to do. And I've also got to love my neighbor. And Jesus says, Yeah, you're right. That's what you have to do. Now, we've got to be able to look at that now and say, No, there are three kind of life-altering truths that are in that text. If you let them soak in, there are three things that you can find out from those two passages that can change everything. It can change your entire life and the lives of everyone that you come into contact. And that first truth is that to love is to do the most important thing. It is the most important thing that you find over and over and over again in Scripture. Whenever you see them talking about what's the most important thing you can do, loving God and loving people, you see it emphasized over and over and over again in the Word of God. And God looks at us today and He says, man, you know, I want you to realize this is the most important thing you can do. Above anything else show this guy what love looks like. I'm going to show this guy who his neighbor is. And so he tells the story of this man traveling down this path. And the road that this guy is on, it's one of those neighborhoods you just don't want to go to. All right? They're traveling down this road, and there's this guy who's been robbed. And he's been beaten, and he's been left for dead. And these people start passing by him, and the first person who passes by is a priest. And it says that he sees the guy laying there, and then he keeps moving. The next guy is just another religious guy. He's a helper in the temple. He sees the guy, doesn't do anything. And a third guy stops to help him. The third guy is a Samaritan. And the Samaritan is a guy, he's not a religious guy. And I think, you know, Jesus is kind of smacking around these religious people with this story because he basically says exactly what you're doing, this game you're playing. You religious people, a lot of times religious people, they want to play the right game and they want to say the right things, but they don't want to get involved and really love and really serve. And so Jesus uses the Samaritan man as the example of what love looks like for his fellow man. And the Samaritans were looked down upon by the religious people. The Pharisees looked at them as half-breeds. They called them dogs. They treated them like trash. They pushed them out to the outskirts of the cities. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. The religious people didn't like him. He was considered the dirty outcast of the day. And here in this story, Jesus is using this man to say, this man is going to show you what love is. This man's going to show you what service is. This man's going to show you who your neighbor really is. But in order for the Samaritan man to be this example, there are some things that we can look at in this story and see. And the Good Samaritan shows us that loving service requires us to do some things. And the first thing that loving service requires me to do is see the need. You see, in verses 31 through 33, it says, a priest came along and saw the man lying there, and he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by. Then a Samaritan came along and he saw the man. Now, there's a difference in seeing, like knowing there's a problem and really seeing an issue and a problem. And this guy is laying here on the side of the road happy. And the first guy, who is a priest, right, who you would think is going to be the man who's going to help this guy, this extremely religious man, he sees the guy on the side of the road. He doesn't go look at him or anything. He goes as far around the man as he possibly can. And he's like, I haven't anything to do with that. The next guy, who is also religious, he goes over and looks, sees what state the man is in, and turns around and leaves anyway. You know, I get this picture in my head from the way you read this passage, that he like looks over and he's like, oh man, that guy's in bad shape. Maybe I'll leave him a couple bucks. I gotta go. See ya. Good luck. And he takes off, right? And that's the picture I get. And then you have this third man who looks, and he really sees what's going on. And he sees this person. I believe that God used the Samaritan for that very reason. I think he wanted, the Samaritan was a man who was going to identify with the hurts of someone else. He wasn't this religious guy who wanted to pretend like he had all his crap together. He was a guy who could be honest about who he was. Because he was a Samaritan. He was considered the scum. He was considered the dirt. And here he comes over. He knows what it's like to be outcast. He knows what it's like to be hurt. He knows what it's like to have no one there to help you up and want to take care of you. And I believe that's the reason that Jesus says the Samaritan goes over there and looks at this guy, and he actually sees what's really going on. And for those of you who are today, you need to look back on your life and you need to remember that you're a Samaritan. And you need to make sure that you're really seeing the problem, because too many times what happens is, especially the more religious we get, we start missing people who are hurting and people who need something different. And we've got to change that. You see, back at Princeton University years and years ago, there were two professors, Darley and Batson, and they were wanting to test a theory. And so they had a bunch of, Princeton used to have this incredible, really well-known theology department. And so they brought these students in, and when the students came into class, they said, hey, we need you to go across campus as quickly as possible. There's a crowd over there waiting. They need someone to come over there, and they need them to teach a lesson on the passage of the Good Samaritan. And so these students would come in, and they would send them across campus telling them they were going to speak. But what they didn't know is it was really a setup by the professors. And they set a guy up on the way over who was in desperate need of obvious help. And they left him in the path where these students who were going to teach on the story of the Good Samaritan had to pass by this man. And these theology students who were going to preach a lesson on the Good Samaritan, 90% of them passed by and didn't do anything to help this person. walk right by and you don't really look and see what's going on in their lives. And Jesus wants us to know you've got to open up your eyes to what's going on. In John 4:35, Jesus says, right now you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest. Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. The fields are ripe and it's harvest time. You know, one of the things that strikes me is that we live in a really messed up, broken world. You recognize that, right? You see that. I mean, we have more reasons out there for people to be happy. You know, they have more than they've ever had. We have more drugs that we've ever had to help people deal with their sadness and their depression. We have more all of these things than we've ever had, and people are more screwed up and more sad and more hurt and broken than they've ever been. You look around, and it's depressing when you look at the world around us. And sometimes we look and we're like, yeah, I'll get around to finding my one. I'll get around to helping somebody later on. And Jesus is like, you are missing the picture. The fields are just ripe for the harvest. There are people everywhere around you who are longing for something different, longing for a better life, and you walk right past them. It is time to open your eyes and see that people are in desperate need. And you and I have got to start looking into our hearts, into our lives, and asking ourselves the question, why is it that I'm missing? Why is it that I'm missing these people who are laying half dead on the side of the road, and I can pass by them and not see them at all? You know, I was telling First Services a family that started coming to Crossing recently, the Cassidy family, and Tim is the dad and the husband and the family. And one of the things that strikes me about Tim is that ever since I met him, Tim is constantly talking to me about the people he sees in need. Every time I talk to Tim, he's like, yeah, man, I was inviting this guy. We started talking. He's got some stuff going on in his life. And, you know, he's going to come mountain biking with us. I want to get to know him. I want to help him. Every time I talk to Tim, he's telling me a story of somebody different that he's talking to. He's a guy who, you know, Tim has his own stuff, but Tim sees the need of people. And I look at his heart, and I'm excited, and I'm encouraged by it, but I'm also extremely challenged by the fact that everywhere this man goes, he sees this. And I want to be like Tim. And I want everyone at the Crossings to be like the Samaritan, like Tim, where when we're going about our day and we see hurting people that we're like, man, there's someone who needs something that I have, and that we are going to become people who do something about it. Because see, we got to do more than just see the need. The second thing we have to do is we have to engage our hearts. You know, that's what the Samaritan does. The other two guys, they see what's going on. They see this guy laying there half dead. They just don't care. They don't care about what's going on in this man's life. We have got to engage our hearts. It says in verse 33, a Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, story